Hi, I'm Jo Allen. I'm a holistic health teacher and founder of The Humble Warrior based in St. Leonard's-on-Sea.
Hello, I'm Heidi Rickson, and I'm a Reiki healer, teacher, and sound healer.
Welcome to Resonance Space. Hello, and today we are going to be talking about manifesting. So manifesting goals, or maybe just setting intentions for something that we really want to bring into our lives. So how we go about that, maybe in the different practices, but also what happens when we achieve these goals, and how do we feel, and how does that then manifest? And yeah, basically looking at all the different angles.
So why are we talking about this today?
So we're talking about it today. You suggested it. I think it's a really nice idea because I've just, I guess, achieved a big goal in my life. Hasn't been a goal from when I was a youngster or anything, but it became a goal recently. And I don't know whether I manifested it. It'd be interesting to kind of explore that. But it's something that's happened. And it's really, I think, for me, about understanding and appreciating it and being able to step back and say, right, I've actually reached my goal. Or I think what we tend to do as human beings, is keep going with it. So I'll keep tinkering away. I am, you know, going, this isn't good enough. This isn't right. When am I happy?
So what do you think the term manifesting actually means?
So if I was to try and explain manifesting, I don't know if I'd do it perfectly, but I would say it's setting an intention. So the intention comes from your heart, you know, your real soul intention, and it's then bringing that into your consciousness. So some people can do affirmations, you can repeat, you know, what you want. Some people write it down, some people might do a manifestation vision board. But it's really then about putting it out into the universe. So the energy, that positive affirmation of this is going to happen for me, out into the universe. And then the universe takes that energy and gives it back to you.
By giving you what you want.
Yes, hopefully. That's the idea. But that's the magic bit, isn't it? Because then you think, how can the universe possibly do that? You know, how can energy do that? So it's really, yeah, I suppose it's a belief system, isn't it?
Ooh, you called it magic.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's got to be an element of magic in manifesting.
Well, we won't ask the question what magic actually is this time.
Yeah, exactly. That's a whole different thing. But, you know, because there's things, so yeah, depends what you think magic is, but there's things in the universe or the world or everything that we can't explain. So I suppose maybe for me, that's the magic.
So would you say that manifesting is setting a goal, mm-hmm. working towards that goal?
Yeah.
And then reaching the goal?
Yes. But then what's the manifesting bit, I guess? Because some people, I think you can just manifest. You think that you can just maybe have a picture of, I don't know, your dream house and think, I want this dream house, this is my dream house, and then it will just happen. So I think it's important to realise that you have to work in conjunction with the flow, the universe, the energy, whatever it is, because otherwise things just don't fall in your lap. I mean, they might do. I don't know. So I don't know, you know, I'm not an expert in manifesting at all. Like I said, there's so many podcasts on it and books and, you know, trying to sort of teach people how to manifest. Can you do that? I don't even know. But yeah, I think you have to put the work in as well as some, you know, luck and love from the universe.
So when did you first decide this is what you want to do?
I've always wanted, well, not always, like I said, it's since I discovered all these different practices that I now teach. I remember I can pinpoint when I had the dream of I want to own a place where people come and can just, you know, completely dissolve, completely relax, completely rest and repair and feel amazing and go home again. So it was when I attended a retreat, my first ever retreat, and I was so nervous. I'd put off going to a yoga retreat thinking I'm not good enough for yoga. I can't possibly go to a whole retreat. Such nonsense. But that was the story that my mind was telling me. And I, so I'd made myself, you know, built myself up to the fact that I could do this. I'm going to this retreat on my own. And it was magical. I was going to use the word again. It was magical. Like there was the sunrise. The pinpoint was Sunrise Beach Yoga. And I, you know, we had to all get up at, I can't remember what silly time, 5 a.m. or 4:30 or 5 a.m. to get there for this sunrise yoga. Oh my God, I just felt amazing. And it was, I was just like, how have I been so lucky to have see this beautiful thing happening in front of me with all these lovely people? And it was just amazing. And I thought, I want to create that. Don't know how, don't know when, don't know why, but I want to create that. And that's what started that. And that started my whole journey into all of the Humble Warrior, what is now the Humble Hub. Yeah, so it's just...
Well, when though? Like, can you pinpoint around how long ago?
Oh, how long ago? Yes, I think it was about 5 years ago. Yes, about 5 years ago, I'd say. Maybe longer, around then. And yeah, and then I took it back and I was like, well, what steps do I need to even create this? And at the time, I wasn't a teacher or anything. I was just a person who liked yoga and who'd been on a retreat and was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. So, yeah, so I started working with other teachers first to create, we were doing yoga supper clubs in my house, in my flat, sorry, in London. Because I had a garden big enough that you could do some yoga and then we... did some food and, you know, had a little food after. I love that. I'm gonna bring those back into my studio, little yoga supper clubs, because it was combining for me what that retreat sort of felt like. So the, you know, that the beautifulness of the movement and the that sort of feel good energy plus the social element of it and experience something nice together. And that was really amazing. And we managed a few of those. And then obviously lockdown happened, in and out. And it just made anything impossible for any sort of, you know, public gatherings or whatever it was, even family, private gatherings. So yeah, it just didn't work. So then again, I had to go back to the drawing board. I was like, right, how can I get there? And then I started doing some online, similar things actually, but online, so we could gather, but online, you know, it wasn't the same, but it was all that we could do at the time. Then I think we were let back out into reality, so I started working with teachers again, and then eventually thought, well, I should probably train myself so I can do it myself. Yeah, so the idea of having the physical space didn't manifest or even come into my intention for a while. It was just about creating these gatherings. So I kept doing that and kept doing that. And the universe or whoever it was kept saying, no, this isn't working right now. Yeah, but it was about finding a way around it, I suppose, and kind of trying to be a bit flexible with whatever is thrown at you, which is what I think we got taught in locked in COVID times, was how to adapt.
Did your goal or your vision or what you wanted to manifest, did that change at all?
Yes, I think it did change, or it evolved, because yeah, I had that epiphany when I was on the retreat and then I sort of parked it because I thought, well, there's no way, you know, I've at the time I've got no job, I've got no this, like, there's no way I can go and in any shape or form create a retreat space, because I still want to do that. That's actually my ultimate goal, is to create a retreat space somewhere by the sea, somewhere amazing that's hot all the year round, not like England. So that's still there, but you know, it's parked a little bit until all the steps have to happen, I think, because you can't just go, like I said, you can't look at a picture and go, I'm manifesting myself a retreat in the south of Spain. You know, it's just, you can, but that might not be a reality for right now. So yeah, it was just about kind of walking towards it, going, and then necessity as well, because I think when I started teaching around the South Coast, it's very different to London, where there are set up studios everywhere, everything is kind of very much ready to go, but we're all pretty much finding spaces, you know, finding village halls, some hotel, you know, hotel spaces. It's very much a makeshift thing, and you have to hustle so hard to get to just do what you want to do, which is have some people come to your sessions, make them feel better, and, you know, and you have to just work so hard to find the people, advertise, social media, you know, finding the spaces, renting the spaces, and it just seemed very disjointed. So I think the manifesting bit came from necessity of, I just want, especially for the sound healing, it was really difficult to find anywhere that had not freezing cold floors so that people wouldn't be shivering by the end, or, you know, or it was so noisy that you're on a main road, and there's no perfect space. So maybe that's when I started manifesting my perfect space.
Right.
So I was just like, oh, I can't find anywhere. You know, what does it need to be? And I found places that were good enough. So then I focus on them, but still not quite right.
So about how long were you into your journey?
So that can only have been maybe a year ago, I would say, because I wasn't even looking for anywhere. And I think I just started mentioning it to my partner, Chris, and I just started saying, oh, it's a nightmare, there's no good spaces, etc. Anyway, so I think he started actually looking, because I'm not the sort of person that's going to be on Rightmove every 2 minutes. It's just not going to happen. I think he just had alerts pinging into his phone, and every now and then he'd go, what about this? It'd be like a shop or something. What about this? What about this? And I was like, no. And not in any particular hurry for it. You know, I was just like, if it happens, it happens, amazing, you know. But, and then something, this space came up that was also a space we could live in. I was just like, oh my God, that is incredible. So yeah, so it just started from there, really. So I didn't have maybe a vision in my head of, right, this is exactly what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to create the perfect space. That was all the, it's kind of as simple as that in a way, but not simple, obviously. And then that happened, and then suddenly that seemed to work. And, you know, nothing's ever easy. I had to, you know, look into financing and this, that, and the other, and make a few things work, and pull on some favours, and get some family involved, and suddenly I was just like, but this could actually happen. And I'd had some other ideas, I think, before, that my family would say, no, that's ridiculous, don't be ridiculous. But this was the first one that they said, I don't know, that looks like a good idea. And I was like, oh, okay, wait a minute, wait a minute, this could work. So yeah, and then I suppose the manifesting for me, in terms of how I see it in mainstream, was I had my Pinterest boards and I was pinning my perfect studio, and this is the colours I want, this is what I want, this is the art, this is the ceiling, this is the lobby. So that was maybe me manifesting the elements of it.
So when did you start actually doing that detail work?
Probably when we found the space.
Okay.
No, I think when we found the space, because otherwise it's, I think you can do it as early as you want, I think, if you're manifesting and wanting to create something. But for me, I suppose I'm quite practical in terms of, if it's not going to happen, you know, I don't want to, you know, putting the effort in a bit too early is, for me, maybe not that helpful. But for some people, I think you could manifest the entire thing from scratch and then work towards it.
You said something that I think is key when you were just talking about that journey. You said you knew that's what you wanted, but you weren't attached to the outcome.
Yes.
You see what I mean?
That's interesting. Yeah, I think you actually do hear that a lot with manifesting. People get disappointed because it hasn't happened. Like, say, for example, people manifest their perfect relationship, they want to get married. That's a, you know, big thing that people might manifest. And when it doesn't happen, you know, people get disappointed. They're like, this doesn't work, manifesting doesn't work. But also, I think manifesting doesn't work like that. You can't give it a goal, give it a deadline, and expect it all to come together. Because that's, I mean, it feels a bit much, doesn't it, to expect.
Tell me, Joe, how did it feel when you finally realized that you're getting your studio space?
I don't know if I've fully, I think I haven't really fully accepted it because I think definitely when something's happening, I'm very cautious. Until something really physically happens, I don't think it's real, or I don't think it's going to happen. So all the way up with the sort of, you know, acquiring the space and the building, it didn't feel real. And I was like, could fall through at any minute. I think that was instilled in me from parents or, you know, family members kind of around purchasing and things. I was just like, right, it's not going to happen. And then it happened. And then all the work needed to be done. So there wasn't time to necessarily enjoy it. It was kind of like, quick, we need to turn our living space into a living space. So a lot of the building was quite derelict, so that was very much a survival thing.
So
even when I had it, yeah, I wasn't like, oh yay, I've got it now, this is so exciting. Because I couldn't even focus on the studio for a while. We were just using it as a garage. So we're just parking cars in it while we bought materials up and down and tried to get our living space sorted. So it didn't feel like a studio, it felt like a garage for a while. Mm. And that was all systems go. And I couldn't enjoy any of that really, because I hate it. Kind of, yeah, I got a bit of a backward slide into anxiety and my OCD, because it's a stressful time. Moving house is always stressful. And then on the top of renovations, on the top of building something that you then are going to put out to the public, I think there's like levels of stress, and that's my height of stress. And the fact that everything was chaos meant that I couldn't, you know, my OCD was all over the place because I couldn't have things where they should go, and things get moving and everything was dusty. And I was like, oh my God, I've made a mistake.
Do you think that, sorry, I interrupt you.
No,
do you think that with all of that chaos going on and you feeling uncomfortable with the chaos, that overrode how you were actually feeling? So you couldn't even think about how you were feeling because you were too busy trying not to feel.
Yes,
chaos.
I think I was in fight or flight mode essentially, which I think I might have only just gone out of. Might still be in there a little bit, but it wasn't. Yeah, so it was kind of, I've got what I wanted, but I can't necessarily enjoy it right now because there's so much work to be done. And we managed to put ourselves some really tight deadlines on having things finished for different reasons. So that was all very stressful. Maybe everything had flowed up till that point, because like I said, I hadn't necessarily gone, I must have this thing by this day. It was all very kind of, oh, wouldn't it be lovely? And oh, this is what I want. And then suddenly you start putting deadlines on things and forcing things. And it starts to feel not as enjoyable and not as in the flow and not as, yeah, maybe less natural and less of manifesting and more forcing. but then things kind of keep going in the way that they need to. So, you know, when we got our living space sorted, then we could move to thinking about the studio. And that's when the exciting bit was. That's when I was like, oh yay, I get to decorate. So my Pinterest boards came out and I get to try and manifest that, or just bring that into reality. So, you know, that from the ideas and the sort of creative side, is working then with Chris, who was helping me to sort of do the whole thing. Like, physically, how can we do this? Because a lot of my ideas are completely ridiculous and are not workable.
What, like retracting roof?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, what I want is a giant tree in the middle so we can all sit around it. No, that's not going to happen. Okay, how can I give it a yurt feel? Can we take the roof off? No. So, you know, it's all my ideas. But I think start big and work backwards, you know. Don't come up with just really tiny ideas and that are really easy. So it was that. And then it was kind of like, yeah, some things have worked, some things haven't. Yeah, but I have been reminded all the way through from people to enjoy it and like think of how far you've come. Think of what you're achieving. Think of, you know, this amazing thing. And I have to remind myself to do that because it's not a natural thing of me waking up and going, oh my God, I've got this amazing thing. Because at the moment I wake up and I go, oh, I need to sort this out, and I need to do this, and this needs to happen. So when do you get to the point where you enjoy it? I don't know. We're open now. I had my first class yesterday, which I did enjoy. But because it was my first class in my first phase, I was really nervous.
Mm.
And I had imposter syndrome. And I was thinking, oh my God, this is going to be awful. It was fine. But, you know, there's all our human emotions and insecurities will always come to the surface, especially, I suppose, when it matters the most, maybe.
Do you think, if you think back, were you saying to yourself at all, this will be, I will feel better, or I will feel happy, or it'll be better when it happens?
Mm.
Do you ever recall feeling like that?
Interesting, because I think we're taught to feel like that. So throughout your life, you know, if I get this job, I'll feel happy. If I get my dream house, I'll feel happy. If I get my studio, I'll be happy. I don't remember feeling that. No, I do feel that. I do feel that. I've got a vision in my head of people flowing in and out of the studio, having had a lovely session with whoever it is, whether it's movement or sound or music or whatever. People are just happy. I've got that vision in my head of people just like, oh, that was great. Yeah, I'm going to go back again. And that's the end goal for me.
Mm.
Is so maybe I'm not there yet still. But I won't necessarily see that, because I'm not going to be just standing there in the lobby watching people go in and out and, like, you know,
well,
freaking people out. Did you have a good time? Did you enjoy it?
You could put up cameras, but...
Oh, God, no. So, but I think it's just that sense of, oh, this is working, this is flowing, people are enjoying it, I'm getting lovely... Feedback for me is always important, because even yesterday I got some lovely feedback, and I'm getting lovely feedback for the look of the studio, so that's like, ah, yeah. You know, that's that kind of, that puts some worries to bed of like, yes, it looks nice. Yes, it's functioning the way I need it to. And then it's about it working as a space for everyone, you know, not just for me, for anyone that uses it. And then I'll be happy.
So your launch party was,
yes.
Was it a week and a half ago?
Week, yes. And a half ago.
Did you think that was the ultimate goal or manifestation destination?
No, that for me was another stepping stone. That was sort of showing people what it was, so that they would then use it. So I didn't see that as a goal. I saw that as an important part of the process of bringing it into people's awareness.
Because
I think things like that, I mean, you can just open... I could have said 2 weeks ago, oh, we're open. Does anyone want to come? And I'm sure people would find it. But, you know, I haven't created that excitement. I haven't created a buzz. People haven't come and enjoyed it and gone, oh, this is going to be great. Yeah, so I think that's my process, and part of the community aspect, and part of people getting together, the gathering side of it, which is what's important to me from the get-go in terms of retreats and, you know, just any sort of collective, you know, where people kind of get together and share experiences. So I think that was important to me to add that into the mix, but it wasn't a goal necessarily.
A milestone, you know.
Yes, like a milestone.
On the way to the goal.
Yes.
I guess what I'm trying to find out is, did you have a certain anticipation of how you would feel after the official launch party?
Exhausted. That's the thing, because I think you never enjoy your own parties because they're stressful and you have to organise, and then you're worrying if people are having a good time or if there's enough people there or if people have got enough drinks. So I think, oh, it's weird. It's like, yeah, I don't think you ever enjoy it when you're there. And again, someone said to me, when you're halfway through that party, step back and feel proud of yourself, and this is what you've done. And I'm just like, I know, I need to remember that. And I don't think I did, because I think I was too busy. But the photos look great. You know, I saw everyone having a good time. So, but yeah, I think it's, I don't know what it is it? It's something in our brain, in our psyche, in our habits that just sort of stop us enjoying things maybe when we're in them, unless we're really relaxed. I think, you know, if you're, the time that I can stop and enjoy is maybe when I'm walking in nature, or I'm just, you know, on a beach, or, you know, some, when I'm relaxed, I can stop and enjoy. When I'm not relaxed, if I am in fight or flight, very hard to stop and enjoy.
So would you say that this journey from just thinking about the idea to now it all coming to fruition physically?
Yes.
How, if any, do you feel different in as a in yourself? Do you see what I'm asking?
Yeah, I think I noticed. So in amongst the anxiety and all that sort of business, which I don't, you know, I think there was no, I did as much as I could to calm that down, but it was always going to happen. It's just in my nature. But in amongst that, I noticed that I was trusting certain elements of the process, because everything goes wrong when you're doing any sort of construction. Everything takes longer. Everything's more expensive. Things, you know, there's always curveballs, things that, you know, like I said, my ideas that maybe were a bit ridiculous, but some ideas that seem quite simple couldn't be done for whatever reason. So you have to, but I remember thinking, oh, I'm really trusting that this is going to get there, because I could let my anxiety go off the charts and kind of, and there was something about, I'm going to, you know, if a disaster happened, and they did, you know, gas pipes and things happening, and, you know, I was like, we're going to get there. This is stressful, but it's going to be fine somehow. I'm going to find the funds. I'm going to manage to get to the end. And if not, I'll find, you know, we'll shut up shop and we'll do something else. But yeah, there was a certain element of me noticing that I was just like, oh, I totally did go with that trust that it was going to happen. And I don't know where that came from, because I think a lot of people would have panicked and fled the scene a lot of times throughout this process. Because it seems bonkers now I think about it. I'm like, what was I even thinking? Because it was such a big project, the whole thing, you know, from start to finish. But, you know, I did it. I sort of trusted it. I went with it. I did it. So I think, yeah, there's an element of maybe allowing that trust to happen and believing in the end result rather than maybe freaking out about every little thing that happens. And feeling, do I feel different?
Like, I guess I can rephrase that as, do you think something as huge as this has changed you in any way?
I don't think so. I hope not. It's not that huge as well. I don't see it as anything that huge.
Yeah, it is.
I just think, oh, I've just got a little room that people can come into. I don't think so. I think when I'm up and running, I'll be able to enjoy it more, because I'll be able to use the space myself. I'll be able to have other people doing it. It's changed. I don't think so. But then, you know, I don't know. Ask me in a month and I might go, actually, yes, it's turned me into a complete control freak.
I was actually hoping you'd say for the better.
Yeah, I know. I hope so as well. It might make me more, I don't know. Not sure. I don't think so. Because I've always wanted people to have the best time. That, you know, even from when I was younger, and like maybe a birthday party, it was like, oh, I want the best birthday party. I want everyone to have such an amazing time. And that has never changed. And even when I worked in fashion and I had a team of people and we were all in hell, I wanted to make sure that they had the best time possible in this environment. So I was always like, people always liked me as their manager, because we'd all go out for drinks and we'd all, you know, I'd be like, right, this, you know, this is your life. This needs to be manageable and great. And you need to want to enjoy to come to work and enjoy the people that are around you. So I've always wanted people to have the best time. And that's essentially the end goal for this space. As well as creating the perfect space for me and others, it's for everyone to have the best time.
Well, rest assured, I will ask you in a month.
Yay!
We'll revisit this.
So do you think there's a difference between manifesting and intentions?
Intention is where you're focusing your energy, be it thoughts, be it actions, words, you're pointing at something. Manifestation is when the thing you're pointing at actually gets to you. Do you see, do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When you, so it's setting a goal. So intention, setting a goal.
Yeah.
Kind of the same thing, mm-hmm. sort of.
Yeah.
And then manifestation is reaching the goal or achieving the goal and having what you had intended to do come into play.
Yeah, that makes sense. And how do you think it's manifest?
Do you mean like elves or something?
Yeah. How does it happen? What's that connecting point between the intention and it, the reality, it being manifested?
I think a lot of it is how you feel about the thing you're doing. Like you wanted to create a space for other people to enjoy it,
mm-hmm.
in essence, right? It wasn't that you wanted to have your own studio because you could charge a lot of money because you're located by the sea and, you know, you weren't thinking about the actual businessy side of it as a goal.
Yes,
you see what I'm saying?
Should be, but I'm not.
Well, no, but it came out that it was very, very evident that that is what you intended.
Yes,
to do.
Mm-hmm.
So having that, I don't want to say it's a good feeling. You start with really good feelings, and you have a proper kind of solid, positive reason for you doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe the positive focus
mm-hmm.
has resulted in a positive outcome.
Mm. So it is that kind of energy exchange of positive, like, you know, the positive vibes you put out in the world is the positivity that you're going to get back.
I think it works that way.
Mm. I think so, but I think it's also hard to understand that in a way.
Well, also, I think one of the reasons why it happened relatively quickly for you is you weren't attached to the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
So you weren't having negative expectations or pushing against something not happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of, well, I suppose that's what's happened. So that's the reality of my situation. It might not be the reality of a lot of people's situations. It might take years and years and years and years, or it might happen tomorrow. Some people work with signs and symbols, don't they? Like if they see, I don't know, they'll pick a symbol and they're like, if I see that symbol, I'm getting closer.
Really?
I've heard that one. In manifesting. They're like, pick a symbol, so you pick. I think I tried it because I think I was listening to a podcast or something. And they were like, pick a symbol. And when you each time you see that symbol, you're getting closer or you're on the right path. And I was like, ooh, I like that.
So what did you pick?
Well, I picked, and also I think I was testing it a little bit. So I picked something really random and I haven't seen it. So I picked I picked chocolate gold coins. You know those like chocolate coins that you know, wrappers on. I thought I might see them, especially because Chris has got kids. I was like, what will happen is they'll get some chocolate coins and I'll be like, oh yeah, but that's not happening at all.
Well, be on the lookout
for chocolate coins in your life. Maybe there's more to the story. I should have got them for the launch party, shouldn't I? Loads of chocolate coins. That would have been like, ta-da! I didn't think of that. But I found it interesting. Because there's people with advice, isn't there, about how to manifest. And that was one. That wasn't how to manifest. That was how to recognize that you are manifesting. So how to sort of reassure yourself in a way that it is happening. But I could have picked something, I suppose, a bit more...
general?
A bit more that, like, I might have actually seen.
Like a seagull?
yeah, exactly. See them about 10 times a day. So that would have been like, oh, manifesting all over the place. But then is it that sort of self-fulfilling prophecy? Are you just sort of telling yourself that that's what's happening? I don't know. Whole nother discussion.
Which?
But I do believe it. I do believe positive energy out, and that's what you'll receive back. And I think that's the basis of manifesting, personally. So, and you're right, I think it's the same with intentions. If you've got that intention, you're putting it out there, the vibrations of that intention are going out into the universe, they're, you know, going into your subconscious, into your psyche, and that's then how you act. That's how you conduct yourself, is as if that's reality, I suppose.
Well, again, we will be revisiting this in a month or two, and we'll see if anything has changed, hopefully for the good.
Definitely. Keep manifesting. That's the advice.
Thank you for joining the journey here on Resonant Space.
I've been Jo.
And Heidi.
And if you want to contact us, you can get in touch at our email address, info@the-humblewarrior.co.uk. So just if you have any questions about any episodes, if you have any topics you'd like us to explore, or if you are a practitioner yourself and would like to come on the podcast and discuss a subject, that would be amazing. So yes, feel free to get in touch. Thank you.